Hello and welcome to The Laydown, a podcast where three booksellers from Gibson's Bookstore in Concord, New Hampshire chat about all things literary. My name is Ryan.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Kelso.
We've got a very special episode for you this month. Independent Bookstore Day is coming up on Saturday, April 27th, and to help celebrate that, throughout this episode you'll be hearing from some other folks who work here at Gibson's about their love of indie bookstores.
Hi, my name's Michael Herman, and I'm the owner of Gibson's Bookstore.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I am the events coordinator here at Gibson's Bookstore. I have been the events coordinator here for about seven and a half years.
So hi, my name is Jim Gosha. I have been working here at Gibson's off and on since 1987. I started the Christmas season of 1987.
I'm Laura. I've been working here for about a year. I work on the children's side of the store.
Hi, my name is Janine, and I've been with Gibson's 3 years.
I'm Danny. I have worked for Gibson's for about 6 months now.
Okay, let's get into it. Let's talk about what we're currently reading.
I just finished a 15-year-old book by Lee Edward Foti called Kendra Candlestar and the Box of Whispers, and it's exactly as ridiculous as it sounds. And I picked it up because I read an advance of a book that he wrote that just came out on the 9th called The Secret of Zune, which was phenomenal.
I recently finished a book called I Love You So Mochi that comes out in the end of May.
Yeah, it's so cute.
Which is an adorable story of self-discovery in Kyoto, Japan. And there's a little bit of romance and there's a little bit of finding yourself. And it's adorable, and it made me cry like 3 times towards the end of it. And was totally worth it.
A recent book I read that I think everybody should read is Laurie Hulse Anderson's Shout. It is a powerful, powerful account of her life and how her life experiences informed her seminal book, Speak. Also, on a nonfiction as well, is American Dialogue by Joseph Ellis, which to me rips open the Band-Aid on America's sores to show us that the way we are today, we have been pretty much working on since the days of our founding fathers. And you have everything in there from the origins of the Black Lives Matter movement to Me Too to the disparity of wealth, you know, the 1% versus everybody else. It's all there. It was both enlightening as well as maddening. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend everybody read that book.
I'm currently reading Craig and Fred, a Marine, a Stray Dog, and How They Rescued Each Other by Craig Grossi. And this is not just your average dog story. You get a little bit of Afghanistan and this Marine who is 6,000 miles away and meets, of all things, a flea bag, bug-ridden dog that has no clue about anything and suddenly wags his tail upon meeting this Marine. And there you go, beginning of a wonderful friendship. Highly recommended.
I just finished the advanced reading copy of Sorcery of Thorns. The main character is Elizabeth, and that's Elizabeth with an S. And I am an Elizabeth with an S, so I was immediately drawn to that. And, you know, I mean, I read the synopsis and I said, okay, that sounds kind of interesting. And then I read the first chapter, and it was a young librarian apprentice checking to make sure that she had her demon banishing paraphernalia properly strapped to her and lamenting that she had not yet been trained enough to have earned her sword, because most librarians quit or die before they become library wardens. And I said, I beg your pardon. And what she's doing in that first page is she is transporting a sorcery grimoire between the great library system. And it's packed in a lead box and packed in salt because it's a very dangerous sorcery grimoire. I think it's a level 4 grimoire. And on page 4, I think, they're carrying it down the steps into the vaults, and the box lurches because the grimoire tries to kill them, because if they fell down the stairs, the box might burst open and it would be free to transform into a monster. And I said, okay, I'm listening. It got better. There's a debonair licensed sorcerer, and his demonic servant, who is also a gentleman's manservant, who is very proper. And they have to not only save the great library system, but they have to save the world. And it was glorious. And I finished the book, and I just kind of stared at the wall. And one of the nice things about this, this is by Margaret Rogerson. This is a one-off. There's only one book here. And so she starts and she finishes it, and it's done. It's wrapped up. There's a neat little bow on top. And it's quite refreshing, really, to read a single shot. I'm not over this book yet. It's been less than 24 hours, and I'm not over this. It's going to be my staff pick. That comes out in June. And so in June, you'll see my staff pick.
Michael, have you read anything good recently?
Yes, I have. There's a novel coming out on April 23rd by Ian McEwan, who's one of my favorite novelists, called Machines Like Me. And it's a great novel and a very thought-provoking meditation on what artificial intelligence will probably mean.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It's very cool.
That sounds awesome.
I'm also, I'm dipping back into a book that I go back to every year or two. It's probably the best book on the publishing industry that I've ever read. It's called Another Life by Michael Korda. It's just fascinating. It's modern history of publishing, really. Up until about 10 or 15 years ago. But still, very entertaining.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I'm reading a few different books at the moment, per usual. I'm a few chapters into a book called The Need by Helen Phillips, who Kelso and I met at that book conference down in Cambridge a few weeks ago. It's a really great thriller about motherhood and paranoia and home intrusion, and it's really captivating and well-written and creepy, and I'm loving it so far. I also just started a book called The Gone World by Tom Sweterlich. The blurb on the front says Inception meets True Detective, which is super accurate. It is set in 1997, but it involves time travel and space travel. It involves solving crimes and trying to prevent this apocalyptic future. It's a really fun juxtaposition of, like, 1997 technology mixed with, like, time travel and space travel. It's really, really good. The mystery is very good. It's a little graphic, but really well written, and I'm loving it so far.
Is that out now?
It is. Yes, it is out now. It's by Tom Sweterlich. It's called The Gone World.
Right now, I am reading Vicki Ward's Kushner, Inc., subtitled Greed, Ambition, Corruption. She has a good reputation as a journalist. She's written some other nonfiction books. She was a contributing editor of Vanity Fair. So I'm trusting that this is well documented, but it is truly shocking and disturbing. Mm-hmm. And if you can take it, I think it's really worth reading. And the other book I'm rereading right now is Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. Gentleman in Moscow is like a couple other books I can name. The current one right now is Where the Crawdads Sing by Delia Owens. Mm-hmm. The other one is Anthony Doerr's All the Light We Cannot See. These are books that were not heavily promoted by their publishers. They weren't by best-selling authors, but they were books that indie bookstore booksellers loved from the beginning and promoted and gradually caught fire. They're books that, if you read it, you will hand it off to somebody and say, this is such a wonderful book. Our book club read A Gentleman in Moscow in hardcover a couple of years ago, and it's probably the only book I can name that in the time I've run the book club that everybody loved.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gorgeous historical fiction about a man trapped in difficult circumstances who behaves as a gentleman. I just love this book. I highly recommend it. You will feel wistful when it's over.
Mm. Kelso, what are you reading? Okay, so the first one that I am, like, super obsessed with right now is Bunny by Amona Awad. The basic plot of it is outsider Samantha is living in a prestigious MFA program at an Ivy League New England school, and then she becomes enveloped into a popular girl clique. And then nutty, brutal, and crazy things begin to happen. I'm about halfway through it,
and I'm like devouring it. And I haven't felt this like hungry for a book since The Knicks. I don't want to give too much away, but it is just like this raw book, kind of like Heather's meets The Secret History. I'm just, awesome. You know, like one of the bunnies in the book, she writes her, she calls them prosums. They're like prolonged. Oh, yeah. But she writes them, she etches them with a diamond in glass and hands them. Yeah, exactly. It's, those are the types of women who are in this book. But she's so captivated by them and like wants to be part of their group, but simultaneously does not like them at all and what they stand for.
Yeah. When does that come out?
This comes out June 11th, and in June, it is going to be my staff pick. So, the second one that I am going to talk about is called Five Midnights by Anne Devalia Cardinal, and this is a YA young adult science fiction fantasy novel about five teenagers with troubled lives who try to solve a series of murders in pre-hurricane Puerto Rico. It is going to be a series. This was written before the hurricane, and the next book she's going to write in this series is going to be after the hurricane.
Interesting.
This is based on El Cuco, which is a Latinx folklore monster who, it's like the boogeyman. If your parents say you need to behave or the boogeyman will come and get you, it's the same but in Latinx culture. And so these five teenagers are trying to solve the murders, but they're also trying to make sure that they do not get swept up by the monster or taken by the monster. And they don't know within the book if they're good enough so the monster won't get them. Like, are they doing things well enough? It's getting a lot of good buzz as well. It is coming out in June of 2019, so you should look out for both those books this summer.
Awesome. Okay. So, as I mentioned earlier, Independent Bookstore Day is this Saturday, April 27th, all day. So, in the spirit of Indie Bookstore Day, I wanted to talk a little bit about the importance of independent bookstores like Gibson's. So, I'm going to kick this off with a quote from the Independent Bookstore Day website that talks about why we are celebrating Indie Bookstore Days this Saturday. So, they say, quote, "Independent bookstores are not just stores. They're community centers and local anchors run by passionate readers. They are entire universes of ideas that contain the possibility of real serendipity. They are lively performance spaces and quiet places where aimless perusal is a day well spent. In a world of tweets and algorithms and pageless digital downloads, bookstores are not a dying anachronism. They are living, breathing organisms that continue to grow and expand. In fact, there are more of them this year than there were last year, and they are at your service."
Over the course of my life, I've always visited bookstores, and you know, when I was younger, I didn't distinguish the types of bookstores. I mean, and I think that's true of a lot of bookstore people. They just see a bookstore and they go in, and then they decide if they've had an excellent experience or an incredibly excellent experience. I lived in New York for a while, and I frequented stores like Spring Street Books and Books and Company on the Upper East Side, which is a famous bookstore that's no longer there, unfortunately, and the old Shakespeare and Company. And I decided to buy a bookstore back in 1994, and that was an amazing experience. It was a very different world back then. That was before Amazon. It was before the chain stores had really completed their rollout across the country. So that was a very different world back then. At the time, I thought, what a great job to have an independent bookstore. And I was right. And I've just found new ways that was right over the years. An independent bookstore is really the heart of a community. It's a place that people can gather. It's an intellectual clearinghouse. It's a place where people can dream together. I mean, we're not really in the business of selling books. We're in the business of connecting people with ideas and with the written word. And you know, so long as we're doing that mission, in the independent bookstores are just one of the most important institutions in American life, I think.
Agreed.
I mean, it's a community center. Like, people come here to ask directions, to ask, you know, what's going on in town, right, to meet local authors, to meet nationally recognized authors. It's a place where people come together. We have poetry events, we have book club events, we have the Open Discussion Project. We have so many things that bring people together.
I would add that I think it's indie bookstores in general and bookstores in general are very important because it's sort of an experience. Mm-hmm. It's different, very different, being able to actually put your hands on the book before you buy it and be able to tell, oh, these are the choices that they made in the publishing and this is how it feels in my hands and in some cases, this is what it smells like. Mm-hmm. And
the Hamilton smells real good. Awesome.
All of this you couldn't tell before you bought it if you order it online. Mm-hmm.
And being able to share with schools and having not only just the community feel that comes into the bookstore, but that we go out to schools and schools come to us to look for their great books, and having the Young Readers Program where kids get to read advanced copies of books before they're even published. And so they are getting their reviews right on the shelf and online. And so there's a book that somebody wants because another 11-year-old said, this was a great book.
Yeah.
Indie bookstores to me are... to me, it's the heart and soul of a town. Anytime I go traveling, the first thing I look for is a local bookstore and see what they have on their shelves, what do they have displayed, what's important to this town. And invariably, I always walk away with one or two books. Mm-hmm. I want to support that local bookstore, and which is why I hope everybody comes and supports Gibson's. And even when I started working here, I always saw Gibson's as like a town square experience where, sure, you could come and get a book if you want to, but if you wanted to come and get intelligent conversation, if you wanted to talk about politics or you wanted to talk about the ball game that was last night, you could come and there would be somebody who'd be willing to not only listen but also add their two cents. So it's been a very community place. I love seeing my students come here because I teach during the day. I'll recommend a book and the next thing you know they pop up and they want to buy that book.
There's a connectivity that comes with an indie bookstore. You get to know the staff. They get to know you. There's so much in our digital modern world. We have social media and we feel connected, but it's not really quite the same as coming into, in my grad school classes, we called it a third space. There's home, there's work, and then there's places that you go that are not home and work where you feel that sense of connection and community. This could be a library, a park, a bookstore. So there's kind of an intimacy and a connectivity that you can get in an indie bookstore that you might not find in a conglomeration.
I grew up around indie bookstores without even realizing it. I'm from a small town. We had a small indie bookstore. I didn't know necessarily what an indie bookstore was versus like a Barnes & Noble or a Borders. I just happened to know that, oh, this cute bookstore down the street from my house is really convenient and fun. So I sort of was raised on indie bookstores without even realizing it. I just feel like they're such a great place for people to discover things because instead of an algorithm, we have booksellers who are actual bibliophiles, right? They're actual people who read books and love books, and that's why they're in this business, as opposed to just someone who wants a part-time job or, you know, a website that's using your previous purchases to create an algorithm for you. It's way more personal. There's a lot of passion behind it. And they are community centers. I mean, I think they're really important to the community.
They're super important to local authors.
Yeah.
Especially since the rise of the self-published book, which, you know, I think early on people sort of derided, but now it has empowered writers in this amazing way. But without a place to go and sell your book, or read from your book, or launch your book, or engage with local readers, you don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in Gibson's, some of the books that have sold super well here are hyper-local. Local writers like Michael Bruno, who wrote this book, Cruising New Hampshire History, A Guide to New Hampshire's Roadside Historical Markers. I mean, if you don't live in New Hampshire or vacation here, you're probably not going to care about this. But the second this book came out and people discovered it, they were coming in here one after the other looking for it. Very popular book, mm-hmm. and it's really a fun book. Marjorie Burke, who was a regular customer here, whose husband contracted Alzheimer's disease. They wrote a book together called Melting Ice, Shifting Sand. Marjorie actually wrote it, but she interviewed her husband for it. Unfortunately, he has passed away since then, and she's written a continuation of it called Pilgrimage on Ice and Sand. But Marjorie Burke, we like to talk about her as our writer in residence because mm-hmm. she writes in the cafe. Mm-hmm. And she's an amazing lady, and she has helped so many people who are struggling with relatives with dementia and Alzheimer's by writing this book and self-publishing it. And then Ty Gagne wrote this book, Where You'll Find Me, Risks, Decisions in the Last Climb of Kate Matrosova, which is a book about a woman who died in the White Mountains while hiking when it got very cold. We've sold hundreds of these books because people here take winter hiking very seriously. Lots of people like to do it, and their relatives are terrified, and so they buy them this book and say, don't die on the mountain.
And speaking of writers in residence, we have Erin Bowman,
right.
who's a young adult author of the Taken series and Contagion. She writes in our cafe as well. We have a lot of local authors. David Elliott from our last episode is one of our local authors. And they
get a lot of sustenance, I think, from us. But they're also, they give back to us as well. They do events here. They sign books.
They send their fans here. Yep. They tell their friends and family, hey, my book is at Gibson's. Go get it there instead of buying it online. That's my favorite thing, is when an author is a supporter of indie bookstores and encourages their fans to check their bookstores first mm-hmm. before going online. It's happening more and more where you'll see these really, really big popular authors being like, yeah, check your local bookstore. And if they don't have it, they can order it. And they're not even linking to other websites mm-hmm. or they're telling people to go check out their bookstores first. And that, I love that, because for a while that wasn't happening. And I'm really loving seeing that now.
Indie bookstores are hugely important to the economy and the culture of a community. It leaves a big hole when they're gone. And you'll also often find a particular bookseller in an indie store who knows your taste. Mm-hmm. I know I like to read a lot of mysteries, and there are certain people who will come in and say, hey, what's new, Hillary? You know, and it's part of my professional pride to say, I think you're going to like this one. I'm super sad when they don't like it, but usually
yeah,
they do.
They do.
You know?
I mean, we love our regular customers, and I think at this point we all kind of have had a few regular customers that kind of latch on to us. I have a young customer who I've been helping her find books for a few years now. She started coming in when she was like 11 and was reading at a very high level, was reading it basically an adult level, but had very specific tastes. And I happened to just walk by and offer some assistance, and I picked up this book that I had recently read that I was like, oh, you might like this. And she loved it. And ever since then, she will come in and she will wait for me to finish up whatever I'm doing so that I can go spend half an hour to an hour in the stacks with her looking through books. And, you know, now she's a little bit older. Her tastes have changed a little bit, and there's even more options for her. And it's so satisfying to hand her a stack of books. And she's like, yes, okay, I loved these. These are great. And it's just so nice because we do get to know our regulars, and we get to know their lives.
I just also have to say this about Ryan. She is so devoted to her job. When she goes on vacation, she leaves a list behind.
I am so thankful for those lists.
For this customer. She says, if she comes in, here's what I've been thinking about for her.
Hi, Reese. Shout out to Reese.
Those are very helpful. I'm brand new to bookselling. I haven't been here barely a year, but I've always been in the store. The reason why I got hired is because you both knew me.
She was one of our regulars.
Right.
And we hired her.
I was a regular who I guess knew what was up.
That's how I got hired here.
That's right.
I was a customer for years.
Yeah.
And then Michael said, I have a little opening. Do you want it? And I was like, okay, sure.
The booksellers behind our registers are always doing more than ringing in sales. We are here to help serve the public, here to help serve a need in our communities. We have soul in this bookstore.
We are members of the community as well. So it's not just a transaction, right? There are really nice conversations happening.
And, it's a relationship.
It is a relationship.
You have a relationship with a customer. You know, you're not going to get that at a big box store.
Yeah.
And you're definitely not going to get it from your computer.
No. And there are customers who will walk in, and I know all of us have done this, where we see one of our regulars come in, and we jump up and we say, oh my gosh, a book just came out. You're going to love it. And, like, they haven't even asked us for help, and we're running up to them telling them, hey, I know that you loved this other book I recommended, and I just read this one. You're going to love it. And it's like, that's the thing about indie bookstores versus any other bookstore or box store or online, is that we have so much passion for the books and the authors and the whole business. Like, we love it so much to our core, and that's why we're here.
You know, it goes two ways, too, though, because I often get recommendations from customers.
Yes.
Who will say, oh, have you read this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I do a lot of cooking. I'm really into cookbooks, and I very often will have people say, oh, if you're into this kind of food, you should get this book into
mm-hmm.
the store.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's awesome. So I want to give a quick shout out to Libro FM. Libro FM is the indie bookstore's version of Audible. They have digital audiobooks. They have the same selection and the same monthly membership cost as Audible, but the memberships support an indie bookstore of your choice as opposed to Amazon. So I want to give them a shout out, because through Libro FM on Indie Bookstore Day, we are giving all of our customers free digital audiobooks to say thank you for supporting our bookstore. The audiobooks are available through Libro FM on Saturday, April 27th. Create a free account now, ahead of time, and you'll receive an email with a link to the free audiobooks on April 27th. Then, come celebrate with us in store. And you can create your account at, and this is the website, libro.fm/Gibson's Bookstore. So that's libro.fm/Gibson's Bookstore to get started. So go ahead and do that. They're amazing. All of us working here have Libro FM accounts. We love them. We listen to so many audiobooks with them. I personally have an hour commute to and from work, mm-hmm. and so I crush audiobooks. I listen to them all the time. We love Libro FM. So please, please support them, support us, and go to libro.fm/Gibson's Bookstore.
Also, know by supporting them, you're also supporting us, because they allow booksellers to listen to the audio books for free,
mm-hmm.
which is one way that we get to know which ones are really good to recommend to people.
Yes.
It also helps us get more books read, because we can mm-hmm. read while we're folding laundry and by listening.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, it's a great service. Highly recommended.
It is. Yeah. In the same way that publishers send us advanced reading copies, Libro FM gives us access to advanced listening copies. So they really, really support us. Sign up for them and get your free audiobooks on Indie Bookstore
and
Day.
If you need help signing up, come into Gibson's. We will
yes.
definitely help you sign up.
We can
we'll show you where the app is. We can do it for you.
Okay, so coming events. Independent Bookstore Day, one last time, is Saturday, April 27th. It's all day long. We're going to have food. We're going to have raffles. We're going to have exclusive merchandise to purchase. We're going to have a huge poster where you can wax poetic about why you love Gibson's. We're going to have a photo booth area where you can take selfies that are going to be posted on our social media. We're going to have so much fun stuff going on. We hope you all come out and support us that day. Bring your friends and family. It's really your day to show us that you support us and that you love us and that you want us to be here. And of course, we couldn't do any of this without you. Please, please, please come out and hang out with us. You can, as always, see all of our upcoming events on our website, gibsonsbookstore.com. You can email us about the podcast at gibsonsemployees@gmail.com. Again, that's gibsonsemployees@gmail.com. And our website, one more time, gibsonsbookstore.com. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, and we'll put those links in the show notes, along with all of the books we talked about today and the link to sign up for Libre FM. Thank you all so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll know when we upload our next episode, and consider leaving us a nice review. Until next time, we'll see you in the stacks.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.